I got my first pack of NYXL strings, never having heard of them, knowing nothing really about them. It's just like, hey, this is something new that's coming out. Can you give this a try and let us know what you think about it? I couldn't break them. I couldn't throw them out of tune. No matter what I do, those strings are always there for me.
You guys love Rig Rundowns. We love Rig Rundowns. Love them. Please like and subscribe so we can keep doing these Rig Rundowns.
Thank you. It means a lot.
Hey everyone, this is Chris Keys for Premier Guitar. We're hanging out at the Brooklyn Bowl with Kitty, Morgan, and Tara. How are you guys doing?
Good. How's it going?
Really good. I'm thankful to be here. And it's 30 years going strong, right?
Yeah, it's been a long battle. We're still here.
Yeah. But speaking of being in Nashville, you guys recorded Fire here.
We sure did.
Rascally Linux. What was that experience like?
It was one of the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I've ever had in the studio so far. Nick became like part of the band as like a conductor, like with one of Mercedes' drumsticks, and was like, we were doing pre-pro, and he's like, now Morgan goes
pointing and
now
like,
yeah.
Oh wow,
and
that's conductor, like, yeah.
Oh, it was amazing, and he was a really animated fellow to work with.
Yeah. He's just really super passionate about the projects that he obviously chooses. I mean, and he's very selective.
Yeah,
obviously,
of course.
Which was a big surprise. For
incredibly
us.
Flattering.
Yes, yeah, incredibly yeah. flattering, because you know when we started this journey with that that album, we were like, oh, let's not reach out to him because he would never. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
he was our he can only say no guy.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
Worst thing he could say is no.
Yeah.
So we asked.
Yeah, and he was super into it, and yeah, super enthusiastic about the project. You know, while we were recording, he's like air guitaring and just like he's just like a big kid
yeah.
when it comes
yeah.
to music. You know, he's just so excited about it, and that I think helped to motivate us, and then obviously reflects in the recording as well.
Yeah.
We had a blast.
Yeah.
And, well, I know with the gear that you guys use is probably different, but maybe it's not. What did you guys use in the recording? And then we'll get into what you're using here on stage.
Okay.
So we used all of Nick's
yes.
amps.
Yeah.
Okay. He's got all of them.
Yes.
So it was, I know it was the Alex Lifeson big, the big Marshall,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oversize.
Mm-hmm.
He did have a 5150 in there.
That one was what we used a lot.
Yes.
Okay.
Was, which you can hear
you
it.
You can hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what else he had in there?
I should have.
And it's been like 3 years now.
Yeah.
So. Oh.
Oh yeah, it's a little
yeah.
fuzzy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it was all Nick's gear. Mm-hmm. It was all his original old gear.
Yeah.
And all real. And yeah. Did all the live off the floor stuff.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Nick's the guy we've gotten to do a Rig Rundown. He had a studio here in town before we moved probably into Franklin, where I think you guys were at.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a wealth of amps, but he's afforded himself to be able to kind of pick what he wants to do, and he stays enthusiastic about it. And I think that's it shows in all the projects he's done, because people always walk away happy, not only with the sounds, but also, you know, the interaction they have with him and like, you know, the creation process.
Yeah,
right.
He's such a cool guy. It was an honor to work with him.
I got to do it at Quad, what's the old name of it? It was Quad Studios. What were they calling it? There's a new name for it. It's on Music Row, though.
Okay,
so
yeah,
that's where
I know he called it, or he does go by the Rock Falcon.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we recorded like a lot of like leads and overdubs at his home
at his
studio
house.
And
okay.
vocals as well. And then, yeah, the rest of the stuff was done there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what should we know about what you guys are using on stage? What do we got here?
You
riff
go
rifles.
First. Oh, me go
All
first?
Right, we've got
you go
a round
first.
Guitar.
Yeah.
And I got a pointed
guitar.
Yeah, I'm clear of that one.
No, I'm on the ESP E2 Eclipse. It's got the Fishman's, the Evertune. The Evertune is disengaged for live. It is strictly for keeping me in tune while we record, like when we're in studio.
Okay.
It's disengaged because I do need to be able to tune really quickly, because the way that we do our set
mm-hmm.
is just like bang, 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 bang from song to song. There really isn't any room for guitar changes. Mm-hmm. Like everything must work. And I can't really do the fine tuning on the stage. So mm-hmm. we do have it so we can like tune them down here, but yeah.
And then, can you tell me, because I know that you've played in other bands, and I'm more affiliated with you being, associated you with being like a Gibson Les Paul and passive pickups.
Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Tell me about the move to the Eclipse and then the Fishman's there.
Well, it's because like Kitty 2.0, when we started going back into the studio, whether it be at Garth Richardson's place or Nick's place, I just happened to be gravitating towards the active pickups. They were just sounding a little better, a little bit more complimentary for what we're playing. I always will go to my Gold Top for lead tones because it just has that like real sweet lead tone, and it is at this point just part of my hands.
Yeah.
You know how like guitars just become you?
Yeah.
But I'm happy to say that this one is quickly becoming one of those like it is attached to me guitars, and I'm really loving it, but I just wanted a little bit more bite.
Okay.
And I love the thickness of the passive, but this is complementing what we're doing a little better.
How did you land there with the Eclipse? I mean, there's a lot of Les Paul style guitars out there to choose from.
This is just the one that I tried that was perfect.
Yeah.
I took a bunch of them for a spin, and this was the standout for me.
Was it guitar shopping or was it
guitar shopping? Okay. Like going right into the store and like just giving them a
tone
go.
Testing.
Yeah, and also
old
like
school.
Yeah,
old school. Yeah, yeah, yes, because we are old school.
Yeah,
but also the luxury of being in studio with these guys, and they have all their guitars, and you get to kind of like sample as you're in their studios with their guitars. And this is the one that kind of we noticed that the ESP just kept rising to the top while we were recording. Mm-hmm. And Morgan was also playing a lot of them as well, like, because we were doing a lot of layering. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I think ESP's the one. And happy with the decision.
Yeah, there's a good bite to the Fishmans, you know? Mm-hmm. It's something that, previous to, you know, using the Solar, I had like an old Hamer guitar, like the EMGs in it and whatever. So always been active, but I don't know, there's just something about it. There's this, it's the attack. There's just something like crisper about the sound, so.
Now, how did you get, because I mean, going all the way back to the 90s, I remember you playing a Yamaha Pacifica.
Oh my God, I can't believe you found that photo.
Well, we're the same vintage. I'm an 84 model, we grew up around the same time, and I wanted to get there but I want to ask, because a lot of times I've seen you play V-shaped guitar, so how did you get to the Solar family?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, like, the V-shape, like, my body is broken now. I cannot play, and it feels very strange for me to play any other shape guitar. And while we were recording with Nick, you know, I was using, like, some of his Les Pauls, things like that, and it always just feels and looks so strange. I'm, like, up here, like, it's just a different balance. I don't know. My body is broken now. Yeah, I mean, Solar was a few years back. It seemed like they were making a lot of waves. Ola, you know, obviously is a big internet personality as well. And
but also the Haunted.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd heard really great things, and I figured I would reach out to give it a try. And I did try a couple of other ones, not this particular model, but just, you know, to see what it sounded like. And they were receptive to being like, hey, let's do a little something. So, I have a few of these, and I love them. I think they're great.
Right on.
Yeah.
Now, going back to what I wanted to ask is because I didn't realize until very much later in your career that when you started with your sister Mercedes, that you guys were that young. Because I remember seeing you guys tour in Ozfest in 2000, and like, I just assumed as a kid that watched shows and music videos that I just assumed you, at the very least, you were in your 20s. I had no idea that you guys were teenagers.
Yeah. We started the band. This is the 30th anniversary tour.
Yeah, congrats.
Thank you. 1996. And in that year, I was 14 years old. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Mercedes was 12. I was 14.
I'm 12. I would have been 12 in 96. Yeah.
Yeah. So, similar age. And we were super young, and things just spiraled out of control really fast for us.
But in a weird way, I think it was the best time for you guys to do that because you didn't have to worry about social media. That, you know, MySpace wasn't a thing yet even.
Yeah.
So like you were able to have the most normal experience of a band being in the, not a finished high school that got signed and were touring.
Yeah, and not have to worry about like, what are we gonna post? Or, you know, those sorts of things. It really was like, we felt like the good old days, the tail end of the good old days of the industry in the late 90s, you know, you still had street teams, you still, you know, touring for 9 months out of the year was still something that you had to do in order to like grow your fan base, and we did that. And I mean, we've weathered all of the interesting music industry storms since then. It's been an adjustment, but it's been a long time.
And Tara, you've been in the band now for 20 years, right? I know that with the hiatus and everything, but like
it is my 21st year.
Yes.
Yeah.
We met in 2005.
Yeah. Wild.
Yes, it's been a bit of a ride.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so bringing that full circle in terms of like your guys, I know that you had Origins and Evolutions. Mm-hmm. that came out and kind of celebrating the band at that point, which probably felt like kind of closing the book maybe in a way.
Yeah.
Kind of felt like you could rest on that and be happy with that, and you know, a few shows that came out. But obviously there's been a resurgence of not only your interest but enthusiasm within the band to keep going. And can you talk more about that?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it certainly wasn't something that I think we had planned.
No, it was surprising.
Yes, very surprising.
Yeah.
But, you know, the documentary that we did, Origins Evolutions, was meant to be exactly that. Sort of like, if we did nothing else, at least we told our story.
Yeah.
We summed up everything, and we were able to celebrate everything that we did up until that point. But, you know, in that time, it's strange. I feel like, you know, the way that people consumed music and discovered music sort of changed, and sort of paired with this resurgence of, like, you know, the new metal with, like, a lot of young people.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of our songs, you know, that were, you know, well over 20 years old started to, you know, kind of get some traction with a younger audience.
Yeah.
And it just sort of spiraled out of control again, where people were like, we want new music, we want to see the band. And it just so happened that sort of around that same time, we were asked to do some really big festivals to sort of like, you know, get the band back together, and met up with people at Sumerian Records.
Yeah.
Who were like, we want to put out an album. And we were like, we have no music, we have nothing planned.
No intention.
Let's do it.
It was kind of a nostalgia thing. It was kind of like, let's go do five festivals and take the band for another spin one last time, and then I don't know, we didn't choose it.
Yeah,
it chose us.
But like, you're riding the wave, so why not?
It's been awesome. I guess it wasn't a conscious decision, it was an ask from Sumerian.
Yeah.
Did you want to make a new record? And like, all right, well, fuck it, let's go.
It really was that. It was it's been like us, just like you said, just like kind of going along for the ride, riding the wave, seeing where it takes us. And so far it's just, you know, the wave just seems to be getting bigger and bigger. But
yeah
it's wild.
Now, where would you guys say individually that you both land musically? Because I know that on your other projects, kind of like hard rock, and I know that you were even in Nice Horse, you're contributing guitar to that band.
Yep.
And then Morgan, you're a lead singer, was it, how do you pronounce it?
Carcaos.
Carcaos. Yep. And then also, you know that you have like a new electronic band that's come out. So where does all that kind of, I know that obviously with the other members, Mercedes and bass player, I'm drawing a blank on her name, but that creates Kitty, but individually, where do you guys land in terms of music and what you bring to the table for the band here?
I'm a smattering, because I've played just about everything. I also have another band called No Joy, and it's an indie project out of Montreal.
Okay.
And it's like, we have some, it is kind of like a guitar playground. So
it's
actually, a funny thing is that it is the sister of Elisa Whiteglass. It's her sister Jasmine. So I've been playing with her for the past 10 years. And it's basically just like, I can do whatever I want. And then she produces it and makes it into, like, she finalizes it. It's really mostly her project, but she just, it's such a really fun thing for me to do, and it's allowed me to like expand and just be weird and not think about scales and not think about any sort of the education that I've had. And I even like detune a string to cancel my brain from it.
Okay.
Yeah, or and like one of the albums I'm playing like lap steel, I'm playing banjo.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, like some classical. So it's like, that is like the way that, like, since Kitty took the break, I went into that band and then have been able to just kind of expand. And then obviously the country thing is like real, like a lot of like hybrid picking and rock and getting rock licks. So I just take this whole like smattering, and then kind of like, it was very helpful to go into Fire with a little bit more a creative approach, I guess.
Oh.
So that's where like my bit comes in, like a little bit more of a like off the beaten path thinking, I guess, a little bit.
And what about you, Morgan, and your projects?
Well, I mean, I certainly have learned a lot in fronting Carcaos and recording an album that has yet to be released still, which I don't know if that
ever
will
be,
but it's incredible. But like, it was during the pandemic, and learned a lot as far as like because the musicians in that band are incredible. Uh-huh. They are also from Montreal. Everyone in Montreal yeah. is an amazing musician, yeah. apparently. And with the electronic project, again, it was just something, another facet, I would say, maybe of my personality. Like, as far as like influences for Kitty is concerned, like I certainly lean a bit more like metal and stuff like that. I do lean towards, you know, some more, it's a little more simplistic, I would say, but, I feel like working with other people, with other musicians, mm. really does help to expand your horizons and like open your mind to like new possibilities and new ways of thinking, and without even really realizing it, you realize you've trained your brain yeah. into something.
Can I add different. To yours? Mm. Morgan came back as like a vocal powerhouse. She's always been a vocal powerhouse, but going into studio with her, she was doing some stuff that like you definitely weren't doing before, with like you learned a lot about harmonies mm-hmm. too, and like your singing voice was just like, so it was great before, but it even more improved. Yeah, I was like, you. That's my singer.
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, well, we've always sort of leaned, you know, I don't know, like the origins of Kitty were never, you know, it was always like controlled chaos, you know, and we hit the ground running so young that it's like, I never really did like singing lessons or like really had to focus on
yeah.
on a lot of aspects like that. And so, yeah, working with other musicians really did, you know, help a lot in a lot of aspects, you know, thinking about, vocally, but also then, you know, how, what are you going to play, you know, on your guitar in order to complement that or just to make a song pop, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and speaking of music vocabulary expanding, but it's also, how do you take care of your voice, knowing that, you know, it's an instrument. So, like, I'm sure when you were younger, it was just like, I'm going to scream in the mic.
Oh, I didn't care.
Yeah.
But youth is lost on the young, right?
Like, yeah.
You're just like, oh, I don't care. But now, as we get older, we do have to take care of our bodies a little more.
Even if they're breaking down.
Yep, they're breaking.
And they certainly are.
They're breaking.
Yep. You know, the backs are hurting, the necks are hurting, the shoulders are hurting, but... you just gotta stay hydrated, take your vitamins, and I do warm up now more than vocally than I ever did before. So I used to just like get up there and start yelling and just see how it went. So just gotta do a little more of that. Sometimes like the vocal steamer is good too. Other than that, just, you know, pure emotion.
Hey everybody, I'm John Bollinger with Premier Guitar. So, as many of you know, D'Addario has been a longtime friend of PG, sponsoring Rig Rundowns, and they're a longtime friend of all the players with their Players Circle Rewards. I've been using it for years, and essentially, they will reward you for the gear you buy. Open it up, look inside, and there's a reward number. It's free and easy to sign up for. And as soon as you sign up, you immediately get some reward points just for putting your name in. After a while, you accumulate enough where you can buy more of this fantastic D'Addario gear. So as a Players Circle Rewards member, you get discounts on custom products and merch, you get free shipping, and you get a discount on the gear you're buying with your points, or free gear, depending on that. And if you're charitable, you could donate your Players Reward points for musical education. So collect those points, buy the great gear, and let's get back to more rundowns.
So speaking of backbreaking, hopefully that doesn't happen as much now with the rig being condensed. Can you talk to me about that evolution?
We were doing a lot of fly gigs. The vast majority prior to this tour, we've been doing fly gigs. So mm-hmm. we did have to have a solution for that. And you know, you can get backlined, but it's all different. So, and our backs hurt.
Yeah.
It really is. And then we can have consistent tone. So we did shrink our setup. Considerably,
yeah.
To the point where we can put it in an overhead cabinet on an airplane.
Yeah, it's been incredible. And gone are the days of, you know, loading the SVT yes. up a flight of stairs
in
ourselves.
Road case.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Because there was a lot of that happening for many, many years while we were on tour. And we wised up during our hiatus.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's a lot of amazing, you know, modelers out there, digital the products tech. Now that have allowed us to save our backs and still sound powerful. Like we still keep it a little old school because, you know, hiding behind our screens, we do have cabinets still because
412s.
It's just something that you can't
you just gotta feel it.
Yeah. And I know a lot of bands have moved away from that, you know, with you know, using modelers and things like that, like no stage sound at all. And so when you watch side stage, it's just the drummer.
Yeah, it's just drummer and cymbals.
Yeah, we just can't. And there's also like, you know, like it is kind of backup because they're mic'd as well. We've got two mics per cab. Mm-hmm. So we've got two mics out of each cab and then a line out to the front house direct from our units. And it is kind of nice to have, like, in case your ears go down, you know, pop it out. You don't have to listen to the PA. You can hear yourself behind you. Just, it is for plenty of reasons. I personally just like to know that the amp is there because I can feel it.
Yeah.
Whether I can or not, it's in my head and I can feel it.
Yeah, so
and
you guys like, never tried to go clean stage. You guys have always had the cabs.
No, it just feels weird. I don't want to say it feels inauthentic, but like for us, yes.
Yeah. I mean, we are no track. We're just like a four-person band. Mm-hmm. It's just what you hear is what you get. There's no click track. It's just we are so old school that
awesome.
It would be really weird for us to not have our sound on this stage.
Yeah.
And you guys are really playing the guitar, though.
We really are playing the guitar.
That was a
promise.
Question they've been asked before.
Oh, man.
That you guys are not playing guitar.
Yeah. It's been something that's haunted us for decades.
That is unfortunate. I'm sorry.
We've had people come up to our guitar techs and be like, oh, so you're playing back there, right? Oh, who's that man behind the curtain playing for you? You know,
Zaz.
Yeah.
It's like I'm stringing a guitar.
Yeah.
Man.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
But
I apologize on behalf of guitar culture that you've asked me such questions because that's silly.
It's all good.
Now, tell me about specifically what you're using. I obviously we can tell you it's a Line 6 HX stomp.
A little stompy.
But how did you get there of all the options on the market? How did you get to the Line 6?
Well, Tara didn't start with the Line 6.
No, I didn't. I just switched mid-tour as I have actually been a very committed neural quad cortex user. Unfortunately, it did go down on this tour. That was a bit of a... That was very sad for me because I have really loved it. Up until then. So then the next day we went out and I just bought the same unit as Morgan because Morgan seems to be a little bit more reliable than mine. And although I can do more on the quad cortex, I'd prefer it to work.
Yeah.
And that really, really sucked.
Yeah, it went down mid-show, right?
It went right before we played. And then luckily I did have a little backup Tonex pedal, which did save the gig, but it's not something that I wanted to gig on for the entire tour because it has two options and I need a little bit more than that. So I did switch over, kind of copied Morgan's scenes and then we tweaked from there just because hers was so dialed in so nicely. So it is like a model of a 5150 head.
Okay.
So that's our lead tone or our main rhythm tone with, it's got like a, yours goes over to an octave because Morgan does the scaries.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then my third channel is going to be a lead tone and we've got like a OCD pedal. Basically what we did was we took like what our old setup would be and just put it into the pedal. So like I'm using kind of models of stomp boxes that I was using before, like a Tube Screamer to complement the gain tone, to just give it a little bit of a boost. Uh-huh. I think Morgan has a Tube Screamer on her 5150 as well. And then the only difference is the third channel is mine has an OCD, which I used to use all the time, just for the, with a delay pedal also post. The OCD and the delay are post, just to give it like a nice, crunchy, smooth lead tone.
So the lead tone, okay. Mm-hmm. Now, what are the scaries?
I got just an octave, you know?
The
like,
octave, the boom booms.
Every once in a while, you know, you wanna, just give them a little something else. We do a lot of like fun, like kind of extended parts in some of our songs, and you know, it's a chance for me to like step away from the microphone to interact and stuff like that. And so you want to give them the brown note a little bit. You know,
you know what we're talking about.
Yeah, give them a little something. So yeah, I have a low octave on that one, just you know, for some accents and to you know make certain parts a little scarier.
Yeah.
You know?
No, when was the last time, can you recall, when you plugged into some amps?
I mean, at home, I still plug into Massabuki triple rectifier and practice that way. But the last show that we actually did was about 10 years ago. It was the reunion show that we did in 2017.
Wow.
Yeah.
We even blew one up that day.
We did.
Yeah, it was fun.
I actually just happened to have an amp in my car that day. And because, we blew up ahead. Mm-hmm. I was like, I got this covered, yeah. guys. So, but you know, my car's not at every gig, so
yeah,
it is nice to have the these, yeah, mm-hmm. and much easier to lift.
Yeah.
The one thing I didn't cover when we were going over guitars is strings and tunings. What mm-hmm. tunings are you guys normally in for any of the songs and material and all the albums, and then strings that you guys use?
We have one tuning.
Yes. It's been that way since the beginning. Drop C.
Drop C.
There yep. you go.
There yep. we are.
Yeah. Yep. Good old drop Cs.
Yep.
CGC FAD.
Yep.
And then what about for strings? Gauges and brands.
D'Addario is yeah. mostly what we're yeah. using. Mine's 56 to 11.
All right.
Mine on my Les Paul has always been 56. On here, I've got a 52, which I wasn't sure would be possible with the tuning, but with the EverTune, it actually works really nicely. And it just, yeah, feels really good. So, but always D'Addario, because they're the best.
They're our sponsors, so there you go. A little icing on the cake. Yeah. Now, you know, going back to the record, it sounded like there was a fruitful process with Nick, because it sounds like, I think in another interview you did, there was a lot of material that wasn't included in the album.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So looking forward on the continued success and energy behind the band, is there possibilities that there might be a Kitty 3.0?
I think so. I think so, for sure. I mean,
not to pin you down.
Yeah, no, of course. It's definitely something that we've sort of, you know, talked about and whatnot. We did demo, I think, like 16 or 17 songs for Fire, and there's stuff that's left over, obviously. There's only, mm-hmm. like, I think 11 songs on that album, but we'd probably start fresh. Maybe there's some things we can, you know, dig into again, but yeah, I think it's definitely in the cards for us to keep riding this wave. Just that's keep going. Cool. Yeah.
Why not? I mean, yeah. you guys seem like you're having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, the four of you. For you ladies are just having a blast
yeah,
hanging out.
It's been a wild ride. It is a lot of fun.
You know, when you're in a band with your friends, it's pretty easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know bands can be a little troublesome sometimes.
Well, I mean,
but
yeah,
we're actually
they're
friends,
relationships so. At their core. It's still friendships. Yeah. And you gotta be with people for however extended period of time.
Yeah.
So it's, to see that you guys have such big smiles on your faces, it means yeah. it's truly, well, you truly are just hanging out with your friends yeah. and uh-huh. traveling the country and the world.
It's not something we take for granted.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's
really
right. I'm really happy to see you guys still doing the thing, because like I said, yeah. I remember MTV, The Box, mm-hmm. Ozfest, and it was like, again, I couldn't believe when I saw, this is again years down the line, that you guys were that young, because mm-hmm. I just assume, you're just rock stars, I just assume you're much older, mm-hmm. and you were doing the thing as a teenager. That's badass to me. That's awesome.
Thank you. Because, thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, continued success, and I hope you go on for another 30.
Thank you so much.
Thanks
oh, my back.
Okay.
We'll wheel
can't
you out here.
Us out here.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much
thank
for your time.
You.
Oh, I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you so much.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
You guys pleasure. Stay safe and keep rocking.
Strings have a lot to do with your tone. The NYXLs for me have always tonally been great. I really need that friction to feel my slides. I depend on that friction even for accuracy.